DAE St. Petersburg, home of the Buccaneers.
Shotgun formation again. Now the blitz coming. Here's a pass. Over the little caught by Mike Williams. The 50, 45 to the 40. Mike Williams to the 30. Mike Williams to the phone race. To the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Mike Williams with another touchdown.
This is Buccaneers Total Access with Mike Williams.
How about that? My goodness.
On the home of the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE. Now your host, TJ Reeves.
And we come in on this Monday night after a 23-21 Philadelphia Eagles victory, a wild game at Raymond James Stadium on Sunday, and the end result is an Eagles win, and for the Buccaneers, a tough one. It seems like we've said that several times here coming down the stretch of the season, but in any event, we're here to talk some about the Eagles, talk some about the Saints, and all around have a good time with Mike Williams tonight on Buccaneers Total Access. Good to see you, number 19.
It's good to be back every Monday.
All right.
I can do it 12 months.
Yeah, right. Don't say that. We'll find a way to make that happen. You'll be on vacation. Go, wait a minute, I got to do radio. All right, before we get into the game itself, let's have some fun with the atmosphere in and around Raymond James Stadium as this game was being played, the 10th anniversary reunion of the Super Bowl 37 team was going on. And, of course, we had Keyshawn Johnson calling in on your show last week, Warren Sapp calling in, John Lynch calling in on shows, Brad Johnson calling in on shows. Those guys were here for a big reunion dinner on Saturday. Then you guys as players got to be around some of them way early on pregame on Sunday. What was the atmosphere like being around the alumni guys, the Super Bowl guys, as you got to be around them?
It was a crazy atmosphere. You wanted to get their autograph, or you'd be like, dang, do I get ready for the game? Or and them guys walking around. But it was like, I don't know, like Rondé said, a playoff atmosphere. Everybody just seemed to be around. The stadium was packed. It felt good.
Keyshawn Johnson called in. Had you met Keyshawn in person before?
This is my second time.
All right, mm-hmm. So you got to see him there yesterday. Did he have any words for you, anything that you might want to share before the game? Or are you just clowning around a little bit for a couple hours before the game or what?
Oh, yeah. Man, Vincent was doing one-hand catches before the game, and I dropped one. And he said, I didn't do that. That's what he said. I definitely didn't do that. And I said, I heard about that game when you switch your sleeves and stuff like that. And he started laughing and stuff, but he basically said, I told him that I was the best 19 to wear a Bucs uniform.
Oh, you said this to him?
Yeah.
On the field yesterday?
Yeah, I told him on the field.
And I'm thinking he didn't exactly agree with you.
Oh, no, he definitely didn't agree with me. He said, I'm the second best, but he said I'm close to him, though.
He was getting on your case, for those that did not hear it last Monday, about why did you pick 19? Because he wore 19 and you wore number 1 at Syracuse. But you paid him a compliment.
Oh, yeah.
And said, I wanted to wear 19.
Because of him. I wanted to wear 19 because of him. The way he – as I look at a receiver, I just like the way a receiver can block. We catch the ball. We can motion. We can do everything. And as you seen a couple of weeks ago, I threw the ball. So I seen him do that too. So I was saying I wanted to be just like him or better, which I told him I surpassed him already.
Listen to the confidence of Mike Williams here about that. So you were around Warren Sapp. I did not see this, but Warren works on the NFL Network. They gave him Sunday off to come be part of the celebration, but apparently he was doing a segment live on the NFL Network. And you decided you had to go over there and mess with 99.
Oh, yeah. Every time he see me, he say, get them boys, Mike. Every time, no matter if I see him out in public or if he see me warming up for the game, he come to our practice or something like that, he always say, get them boys, Mike. And I haven't talked to him yet. I talked to everybody else that was around, and it was just my time to go up there to talk, even though he was live on NFL Network.
You do? You came up over his shoulder?
Yeah, I gave him like
yelled out?
I gave him like one of the one-hand hugs and looked into the camera and waved.
Decided to get a little FaceTime on NFL Network, huh?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you mentioned the atmosphere in and around there and with those guys. That's, you know, again, a December regular season game. It's not a playoff game, but that was quite an atmosphere. Fans raucous and at the right times. As a player, what was that like, battling out there yesterday in front of that?
Oh, it was like as an offense, it was fun. We had two separate halves. We called, like Sully said today, in the first half, he didn't know who we were, but we showed who we were in the second half. Like we had two two different halves. It was good fighting in front of our crowd and coming back and taking the lead. It was fun.
You know, fans have been talking about this for about 24 hours now, about that first half and the difference in the second half. As a player, now you've watched the tape a couple of different times, and fans, and in fairness here, you guys had not been shut out in the first half all season. You had been putting points on the board in the first half. What happened yesterday with, I believe, six possessions, if not seven possessions, no points in the first half? What was going on? What were you not doing well enough? What were they doing well?
I just say it was just – They had us right there, them six possessions. We started a little slow for the first time. I mean, maybe that was the atmosphere. I don't know what it was. But I just give it all to the Eagles right there. They had us, them six possessions. We adjusted at halftime and came on and played a better game.
One thing, and we were talking with the head coach about this in the show just before you came on, one thing is you were in third and long several times in the first half, a couple times because of penalties or a couple times because you didn't get enough done on first or second down. Just speak more to, you know, when you're in third and long, it is a different situation.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely. We got this thing where we want to get 3 yards on first down, three or more yards on first down, on second down, get half or whatever you didn't get, and then make third and short be easy. But that's our rule. But we didn't do that. We got – when you get in penalties, you go against your rules and stuff like that. But that's one thing we got to stop with our team as a whole anyway. I think we 26 in the lead in penalties. That's one thing we have to stop right there. So we can't hurt ourselves.
Penalties, the last three games in particular, have been cropping up. Again, you can't speak to the defense or the special teams, but – I mean, as an offense, you've got a holding here, or you've got a false start there. Mm-hmm. That's creating different problems. Why are penalties happening right now when they maybe weren't happening in the middle of the year when you had the win streak going? What can you put your finger on as to what's not going well?
I mean, I would just when you go to penalties, I just say sometimes it could be a bad call or a questionable call or something. But when I just say lack of focus. When you come in and get penalties like that, that's how I say you just lost your focus for that one play and got a penalty, and that's what we got to get rid of that.
Yeah, can't have that continue if you want to get where you want to go. Ultimately, you can't be self-inflicting on things like that. Again, you can join us on the phones with Mike here. He would love to hear from you, whether it's questions or comments. 990-4620 if you're in Tampa, if you're in Pinellas. 727-461-4620, the toll-free number 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827 is the toll-free. You can also tweet me a question as we go along at Bucks Sideline Guy, BUC, Bucks Sideline Guy, on Twitter, and we'll get some more questions and comments from there, as well as on the phone. So if you want to shout out here to Mike, you can certainly do so as you guys battle on here. What would you say in and around the facility today? I mean, it's a tough loss there yesterday. There is no doubt about that. So fans are curious. Are you guys encouraging each other? What was today like in that department to try to press on and get ready for the Saints?
It was kind of hard. I mean, after a tough loss like that, any loss is always hard on Monday. But after a tough loss in the game like that, last second – as an offense, you wish you had that one more chance to go out there and try to redeem yourself, get a field goal or something like that. But it's always tough. But like Shiano said, we got to get ready for the Saints. Everybody's saying we out of this race and out of that race. You never know what can happen in the NFL, and we just going to keep trying to win.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that, because a lot of people are projecting, you know, the playoffs, and you got to have this and you got to have that. One thing you have to do is you have to win as many games as possible. So, you know, at this point, 9 is the most that's possible, but mm-hmm. 9 is still attainable. You still got 9 right in front of you, and you don't know. Until you play for a couple of more weeks, you don't know, right?
Like last year, if you look at the Giants, everything fell their way. All the teams they needed to lose lost everything, and they was 9-7 when they entered the playoffs. They were 7-7, and then they went 9-7, and end up winning the Super Bowl. I mean, anything can happen in this league.
Yeah, and that's, you know, again, you know, fans are a little down after that defeat, but you make a great point. They not only made the playoffs at 9-7, they won the whole thing when they got in at 9-7. So you truly don't know, you know, what's going to happen you just got to, you know, continue to try to win. That's the most important thing. Again, with that, with respect to a day like today, you were just saying, hey, you're trying to get out of the doldrums or being down or whatever else. Take us through what your day was kind of like here. When you got to the building, what you did first, those kind of things, because fans are always curious on Total Access. How do you go about your Monday after a game like that one on Sunday?
I came in. I left about 11 o'clock, jumped in the pool, did my little pool workout we do about 12.
This is the treadmill.
Yeah, the treadmill.
The underwater treadmill.
Underwater treadmill at 12. I think we had a team meeting at 1 o'clock, and then we went to position meetings, and then we left.
How many times did you watch the game, whether it's in the whole version or the cut-up version of the game? Would you watch it at least twice?
Yeah, twice. Exactly twice. I watched the game.
Are there plays that you're looking at, and you made plays in the game? Again, yes, are there plays you're looking at where you're going, could have made one there? Could have made one there? Is that,
oh, yeah. Every
is that
time,
always the case?
It's always the case. It's never you. You got to be, I won't say everybody that look at the film be like, I could have made another play right there. I mean, you don't want to do that. You want to limit those as possible. You want to make them down to like one or two. Like, I wish I could have did that, but it happens.
Again, the voice of Mike Williams is here with us on Monday nights. You can join us on the phones as we go along. We'll talk New Orleans Saints rematch at the Superdome coming up on Sunday. We will be back. It's Buccaneers Total Access. Stay with us on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Bucks, 1-800-596-2827. And again, also, you can tweet in a question or two, and some people are already doing so, or a comment. Do so at Buck Sideline Guy, BUC, Buck Sideline Guy, as we get going. Before we get to the phones, we've reached the month of December. You've now gone through this a couple of times as a pro. For the young guys, and you're still a young guy, third year, but you've now done it twice, you're not used to playing football this many games and still going now to, it's kind of like boxing, going to the 13th, 14th, 15th round. You're now going to go to a 14th, 15th, and 16th game. What is that part like to get accustomed to as a player when in college you maybe only played 11 or 12 games and then a bowl game? Well, you're still going in December. What about it?
Yeah, they say like rookies hit the wall. But I think I'm kind of used to it now. But it's a little different. It's a little different. You got about five more games, and you used to ending college season like about now. So it's a little bit different. But
when you were a rookie, did you feel it in December a little more? Were you all right?
Yeah, I tell people I never hit the wall. Like I give them that sophomore slump thing. I'll give them that, but I never hit no wall.
Physically, you mean?
Yeah, physically.
Yeah. All right. There you go. But, I mean, it is – I mean, in terms of preparation, you mentioned focus in the first segment and all the attention to detail, film study. You got to stay on all of it, right? I mean –
yeah, you get – you got to stay on everything. It's everything got to get, if not the same, but more. You got to be on everything a little bit more, a little bit more film work. Try to break down cornerbacks a little bit more.
All right, to the phones. Carlos is up first tonight in Tampa. You are on Buccaneers Total Access with Mike Williams. Hey, Carlos.
Hey, how you doing? Pleasure to speak with you again, Mike. I have a comment and a question. I'm very proud of you, all of you, the Bucs organization, down from the coaching to the players, everyone involved. Very, very big turnaround from last year. I think we're in an uptrend here with Coach Yano. I really hope you're on the same boat as I am and hoping he's a decade-long coach along with you, Doug, Josh, everybody else in the picture. My question is, now that I don't want to be Debbie Downer here, but it seems like a lot of things would have to play out for us to be able to make it and have a chance in the playoffs. What goals do you set for yourself now that are any different, and where do you see yourself gauged at the goals that you set for yourself personally at the beginning of the season, and what is it going to take for you to reach and try to accomplish those goals?
Well, Carlos, my goals is to get in the playoffs. That was my goals from the beginning of the season. We like you said, we probably need a lot of things to happen, but the first thing we got to do is win. We got to beat New Orleans, and we got to get these wins. So we got to do our part first, and hopefully some things fall in place. But those was my goals, and that's what I wanted to happen this season. And you said how was they looking for me right now? It's looking like we got to keep winning and things happen.
You're not a guy, I know I've asked you this before, but go ahead and give the answer now. You're not a guy that gets big into at the beginning of training camp or the preseason, I'm looking for X amount of productivity, yards, catches, any of that?
No, I just want to win. I think if we win, everything else falls in its place. You look back and be like, dang, I did that good when you win. Like, but if you get all the stats in the world and don't get in the playoffs, it's hard.
All right, a couple of questions here on Twitter. Let's see. Corey wants to know, for Mike, Corey from Chicago, by the way, he says, who got the brontosaurus steak for this week, the steak in their locker? Oh, seems to be a regular thing.
Vincent got it. He definitely deserved it, but Vincent got the steak.
We should mention to the fans that are not aware of what we're talking about that every week you guys give out a steak that is an oversized fake steak, not a real steak, mm-hmm. and you put it in somebody's locker that does really well in the game. So you're saying his six catches for 131 yards and the touchdown
got the job done. Steak. Yep.
Is there an ultimate steak winner at the end of the year, or is it you're just gonna pass it around for the next three games? I mean, are we keeping tally on who wins the steak for the year?
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of.
Wait a minute. Now here we go with goals and here we go with tallying things.
We like about even right now.
But I mean, does it matter at the end of the year who had it more times or who had it longer?
Well, that's another one of my goals, Carlos. Is that I want to beat Vincent Jack out and having the most steak awards.
Okay, so there's something else there on the goals. Again, 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 1-800-596-BUCKS. Also tweet in a question at Bucks Sideline Guy, BUC. Bucks Sideline Guy. Connor tweets in a question and says, what is the biggest challenge that you see this week of facing the Saints? What do you think the biggest challenge is?
The biggest challenge is that we on the road and it's a division game. It's never matter what the record is. That's my 3 years here. But I found out about division games, never matter what team's records is and who lost who. The division game, you turn up and you want to beat your division opponent. So I just think that we on the road playing a division opponent.
You have been in that Superdome before for young guys like Doug Martin or Levante David or Mark Barron, but especially young guys maybe on the offense in particular that have not been in that situation. You know, what advice can you give? And I know this team played earlier in the year, I should qualify it, in the Metrodome, which is loud. But the Superdome, it is amped up. You've been in there a couple of times. What is this like to go up against?
Yeah, that stadium right there sold out. It's crazy. I think the dome helped the people yell a lot louder. It echoes or something, because it's a couple of times in that stadium where I didn't get to check the play call, and I'm staring in Josh's face in the huddle, and I can't hear nothing. So
In the huddle. With him right by you.
Him right by me. I couldn't hear. Like, it was crazy. My rookie year, that was one of the loudest I thought that was the loudest stadium in the NFL.
When you're talking about that, again, without divulging all of the secrets, just in general terms, you've got to be looking for a hand signal sometimes. You've got to be looking for, you know, something other than being able to hear, because you're all the way out a lot of times at the end of the line as a receiver, and he may be trying to change the play, and you're not going to hear him even if he tries to yell it to you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So be looking for hand signals and silent counts and things like that to try to get the crowd out the game.
In a given week, and again, without getting into what they are, in a given week, you have a certain set of hand signals. Do those change a lot of times week to week?
Oh, yeah.
So there will be certain hand signals for this game.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Every road game we got hand signals, and they change every week. Like, I think the chant for a slant, we didn't got like six different signals.
Yeah,
but slants, we got like six different signals, and so every week we change it for the opponent. We can't come out with the same signals because they watch film too.
Sure.
So we change it every week.
Well, and you know, it's one of those necessary things on the road again that we're talking about here, because you could work on code words in practice, but if you can't hear, the code word doesn't do any good. And to that point, fans need to know this. When you're working out in practice, there's loud music playing. There are speakers that are blaring to simulate what you're going to go through. Just pick up on that point, too.
Oh, yeah, them speakers, I think them the loudest speakers in the world. They should use them in some type of club or something. But they play the speakers out there to try to like simulate what the fans gonna do and things like that. But it kind of helps, but it's never like a live situation. So, me, like I said, playing in that stadium right there is one of the loudest stadiums in the NFL.
Yeah, that is, and that's the truth. It is a loud place. All right, Mike is in St. Pete on Buccaneers Total Access here with Mike Williams. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike. How are you, buddy?
All right, great. How you doing, Mike?
Not too bad, man. I appreciate you guys taking me on here this evening. Hey, listen, this year, you know, is different from previous years, being that the new, you know, CBA came down this year, and with that said, you guys only allotted a certain amount of, like, padded practices and regular practices and walkthroughs and those type of things. Do you feel at all that that may have, you know, hurt us a little bit this year? I mean, I know every team is the same, but would you, as players, like to have more padded practices, or do you feel like, you know, right where they're at is pretty good? And how do you think the coaches feel about that?
Well, I think, for me, I would go with no pads forever. But
that's why you don't coach.
Yeah, exactly. but I think the schedule is good. It give us padded practices where we can hit and thud up, and then take the pads off and rest our bodies a little bit, and just do the running and thinking part of the game. But I think the schedule they got for the padded practices and not padded practices, I think it's pretty well this year.
In terms of the physical part of the game, coaches talk about this all the time. You've got to be able to hit some. You've got to be able to simulate what a game is like. That you cannot simulate this game just at three-quarter speed or half speed without pads on. Elaborate on the importance of a padded practice from that standpoint.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You get in the game and you're not used to your pads and how quick everything moving around you is. It's kind of hard. So it's good that we had them padded practices on Wednesdays and go out there and try to simulate a game on Wednesday.
And this should be pointed out on Mike's behalf here that all of this was part of the collective bargaining process, the negotiations, the players and the owners all agreed that this was going to be the policy moving forward. It's not like this is something that's a surprise to either side. It was understood, it was agreed to, that the number of padded practices in a regular season was going to be cut back and limited. It was agreed to.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
By both parties.
I think they came up with the best decision by doing that, still giving us padded practices and where we can hit and simulate a game and still giving us rest without the pads.
And this is another point that needs to be made, too, because the players were pointing this out, and the owners agreed with this, that they felt like the more padded practices you had, the more possibilities not only for injury in practice, but wearing guys down for injuries in games. And again, important, the owners agreed with that and said, okay, we're going to do it this way, and so that's the reason why it's in place. Because a lot of fans hear about this, oh, there's only one padded practice a week. You know, could it be that big a difference? The league basically agreed.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not just the coaches. Everybody agreed to it. Even the players. So.
All right, Craig is up next. Craig, where are you calling us from here on Total Access?
I am in Nokomis, Florida. Beautiful Nokomis by the Gulf.
All right, Nokomis, Florida by the Gulf. All right, what's your question or comment there from Mike? Go ahead.
Well, I kind of want to spin off the last guy. You guys talk about no pads practices. I mean, I can remember back 1970, 69, those years when I was playing just high school football. We used to be out there, you know, Monday through Thursday, all in pads, even though Thursday, you know, prior to the Friday game or the Saturday game, we would not really hit. But I'm thinking, we're in pads all the time. I mean, how do you deal with the lack of padded hitting when it comes to game day, when you guys are killing each other?
All right, so on the point of padded practices again, he's saying, hey, when he played, that, you know, it was much different. It was a different time. I mean, hey, yeah. They're a Buccaneer alumni. We were talking about the alumni being there yesterday. There are Buccaneer players that will tell you back in the late 80s that Ray Perkins, the former coach, had three-a-day padded practices at training camp. Three padded practices in the same day over and over and over again. And guess what happened? And Buccaneer fans that are listening to us tonight that are in their cars or whatever nodding along, those Buccaneer teams for those couple of years were out of gas come October because they had clobbered themselves with padded practices to death in July and August in this heat. But again, the pads, you know, we were just talking about it there a second ago. They do help, but yeah, you can also wear on a team, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think, like he said, on Sundays, that's when you get hit, and you get hit hard, and all the big hits happen. But I think Wednesday is enough. I think Wednesday you get simulate a game, and then you rest through the week. Not really rest, but you practice through the week without pads, and then throw the pads back on Sunday. I think it's a pretty genius plan to me. I think it's like in between Wednesday and Sunday. It's like in between it. So it's pretty genius to me.
Now, I'll tell you another funny one. We had Jimmy Giles in here back last season, and Jimmy went into the Ring of Honor, former tight end, great player for the Buccaneers, and played many years in the NFL. And so he's one of the names that's now up there with Leroy Selman and John McKay and now Paul Gruber this year on the offensive line. And Jimmy was telling us that when he was playing at Alcorn State, that their coach believed in the padded practice even 2 a days during the week, and he would put them in pads if they didn't play well. Did you talk about old school in the 70s? He'd put them in pads the night of a game if he didn't like the way the game went. Everybody showed back up and came to practice with pads on, Mike, the night of a game. There was no going out to get dinner or go with be with your lady or whatever. And he said it is a different – Jimmy's point was it is a different time now where studies are being done about the physical impact of doing all that. But he said, hey, when we were at Alcorn, we were having padded practices after bad losses that night.
That's
so
crazy.
I mean, that's it's just a different time period, different mentality, right?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Like you said, when the old Bucks used to do it, they wore out. So I don't know. It's a different time.
Yes, and a lot of thought goes into that part of it, too. All right, 990-4620 if you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620, and toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. We will pause here. We'll come back with more calls and comments. With Mike Williams here, we will talk more about the Saints as well on the Buccaneers Radio Network. On Sunday, love Mean Gene with the call. You like hearing that, don't you, there on the show? Touchdown Mike Williams.
It's like all his calls is the exact same way.
He gets a little excited.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely like hearing that.
Why are you so – I've asked you this so many times, never get tired of the answers. Why are you so good at going up and getting the football in the red zone and down around the goal line? We saw it again Sunday against the Eagles. Why?
I don't know. I think it's just God-given. I always say it. It's just something I've always been able to do. If I couldn't run a route, if I couldn't catch the ball right, I could just go up and get it. Like, I can just time where exactly it's going to be at. So, it's just something I've been able to do.
How often are you guys working on that? Elaborate for the fans. How often are you and Josh and the receivers working on those throws, end zone, red zone, getting your feet down, all of that in the end zone?
Every Thursday and Friday. Every Thursday and Friday we go down and do the red zone, and we work on them type of throws, where we want them at, and how we want to throw, and he threw it perfect.
I have to ask before we go back to the phones because I don't honestly remember or know. Did you do a little touchdown dance? I saw you pump your fist. I was down there around the goal line. You pumped your fist. When you got on the board, no dance, nothing?
Nah, no dance.
Just back to the sideline?
Yeah, back. Get the ball to the ref, back to the sideline. I don't dance no more because if I dance, I always say I'm used to getting in there now, so – that was my rookie year. I'm done with the dancing.
No more dancing there. No more dancing. And you don't keep the balls when you score.
Not no more. I kept every ball my rookie year, but I don't keep them no more.
That was number 21, by the way, touchdown for you, but you don't keep the balls anymore.
Mm-mm.
All right. Just checking on that. Back to the phones. Bob has been waiting in St. Pete. You are up here with Mike Williams on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Bob.
Hi. Mike, I love everything that you and Coach Ciano are doing. My question is, does your team have like a staff nutritionist or dietitian that monitors your proteins and what you guys eat? And are there like key target areas that that you're trying to optimize for your strength and nutrition? And I'll listen on the radio.
Oh, yeah. My man Kevin, that's my right-hand man, but no, I argue with him a lot.
He's the nutritionist, by the way. He's
a nutritionist, but he always tried to get me to eat my vegetables, and he sounded like my mom when I was young. But, yeah, he is a nutritionist. He tried to watch everybody weight and if you need to lose weight or gain weight, what you should eat and what you should drink and things like that. But he's pretty good at what he do, though.
And nutrition is a big part now of the whole thing. I mean, all over sports and all over society, everybody's talking about, hey, what's in this that I'm eating or drinking? What different chemicals? What goes into this? How many calories? How much sugar? How much fat? Those kind of things. Give us an idea on a typical day, how many calories, because I know they're keeping track of this, about how many calories are you taking in a given day during the season?
Well, me, for calories.
2,000, 3,000, 5,000, you got any idea?
About 7,000.
Really?
Yeah,
that much?
Just
what
me.
Will you eat a lot of to get to 7,000 calories? Because people got to understand that's not, junk food.
Oh, yeah, steak. I would have pasta.
There's a lot of brown rice, green vegetable, yeah, white rice, that kind of
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. I try to eat what they give me, but, I usually go out and get myself a steak too.
Every now and then.
Yeah. From, Mike and, our kicker and, Connor.
Yeah. You guys still have that competition going.
Yeah. I lost yards to Mike, but I won with the, points.
I can't remember this when we were talking about it, and it was either last week or 2 weeks ago. Do you guys regularly eat the steak, or is it a steak at the end of the year that you're buying between you, Mike Kanan, the punter kickoff guy, and Cutterbarth?
Every week. Yeah, you got to get a – they got these little cards where they give it like a steak. You get a steak, and we all got to give each other one of the cards if you get a steak from anywhere.
All right, so friendly little competition with the special teams guys. They're on that, the things that you find out here on Total Access. A couple of people have a couple of more questions. One on Twitter, Adam wants to know, do you think the excitement and distractions that come along with a Super Bowl celebration could take a team, did it take the team off of its game? So what about for players once the game began, et cetera, et cetera?
I think players was like still a little shocked that they was there, but I think we was on our game. I mean, in the first half, we started a little slow. I mean, you could blame it on anything, but people always looking for an answer to blame when you lose. So,
well, and in fairness, they came out for the coin toss at the beginning, the captains from the Super Bowl 2002 team. You guys were in the locker room while the halftime celebration was going on. You weren't even out on the field. The special teams guys came out right at the very end of it. So it's not like it would have been in your way or on your mind. You weren't even out to see it, right?
Yeah, we didn't see nothing that really happened. It was just the before the game and the coin toss where we seen them.
All right. Jesse is in Ruskin. Actually, Jesse has departed. 990-4620. And if you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll-free, 1-800-596-BUCKS. 1-800-596-2827 is the toll-free number to join us. You can also tweet me a question at Buck Sideline Guy, BUC, Buck Sideline Guy, if you have a question or a comment there on Twitter. You know, back to when you're winning, everybody wants to know why, and when you're losing, everybody wants to know why. Sometimes it's hard to explain the why, right? I mean, you sit here and do a radio show, but sometimes it is hard, right?
Yeah, it's really hard. Like, you can't really go back to one point. As us as an office, we just look back and we just blame it on the first half. That's what we try to find a reason every time you lose, and we just look as an offense and say, we got to play better in the first half.
Doug Martin, here we go again with this is why we love sports and, talk radio and the internet, and everybody, tries to, play armchair quarterback. The run game did not have the same amount of success the last couple of games as it had earlier in the year. So everybody's going, what's wrong with the run game? Back to your phrase, has Doug Martin hit the wall physically, blah, blah, blah. Well, you saw yesterday Doug Martin averaging about 4.5 yards an attempt, saw 128 yards on the ground. As the head coach said to us earlier tonight, there's a couple of those runs that he is almost out the gate again, like what we've seen on several occasions this year. Just say something about Doug Martin and the run game and how it went, because you've seen the film.
Well, the rookie of the year, he's been playing, he played great.
You're giving that to him already?
Yeah, he got the title already from me. I told him I've been looking around the league, but I think he got the title from me.
So, I think brag a little more about the run game and what it was able to do yesterday.
I think we just stuck to it. People were saying the run game wasn't working, but if you stack people in the box when we don't have a check call or something like that, and when we got to go with the play, you're going to stop the run when it's nine people in the box and things like that. So we and he was they was trying to blame it on he hit the wall and he was better in the beginning and all that, but he showed you yesterday that our run game is still on.
Being out on the field with him, and again, I get the privilege of being down there on the sideline, and I tell people this constantly. Number one, you can't understand how fast and how violent the game is until you've gotten the chance to be down there in person and see it. Number two, to see somebody like Doug Martin, who's not the biggest guy, lower his head and ram into defensive linemen, linebackers, like a freight train. What is that like? I mean, you're out there blocking a lot of the time, but sometimes you get a peek at that. What is that like to watch he and some of those defenders collide?
It's crazy because I'll be thinking like, dang, sometimes I get hit like that. It looked like it hurt, but it don't. He real tough. Like, man, I think he can go head up with two trains. It's crazy how tough he is, how he would just stick his head down and just try to run the biggest guy over.
It's kind of interesting. There was one play in the third quarter right before he scored. Actually, it was in the fourth quarter right before he scored, where the defender, the defensive lineman for the Eagles, grabbed him. You probably saw this on the film. He grabbed him and kind of grabbed him from behind across his chest and pulled him backwards down on the ground onto the defender's body. And Doug was kind of laying there for a second like, I'm not down because my knees aren't down. Exactly. I'm going to pop up and run in the end zone, which he got up and did. What about how fun that was to see that on tape?
Oh, yeah. It was funny. We was laughing at him, telling him, you didn't hear the whistle? Like, I mean, because we say even if we challenged that play, they stopped it with the whistle right. So it's over.
But that's part of his desire, right? Don't you're not down. Yeah. Keep battling.
Yeah, that's him. That's just him in a nutshell, man. I like his stiff arm the best. I think he got one of the best stiff arms in the whole league. Like how he can stiff arm the whole linebacker and still stay up, it's crazy.
How you know, what's the secret to being able to have a good stiff arm? You're still working on it yourself. I mean, what do you have to do well? Because you obviously are thinking about protect the ball, but
well, I guess you just gotta you either have it or you don't, because my stiff arm is nowhere near that.
Wait a minute, I think we may have a breakthrough here on the Mike Williams Buccaneers Total Access. There's something you're saying that you're not great at. Because we hear a lot of times, I'm great at this, I got this, I got that. Stiff arm, still a work in progress?
Yeah, it's still a work in progress.
Might get some tips from Doug Martin?
Yeah, I can get some tips from Doug, but that's the only thing that's
no. Back to the phones. Ron is in St. Pete on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Ron.
Hey, how you doing, TJ?
We're good.
Mike, how are you?
All right. And you?
I'm all right, bud. Just a regular listener. As you know, TJ, hey, Mike, I was at the game usually like always, and I know that was a tough defeat. I know I was kind of very frustrated. So I know for you guys it must have been frustrating. But the question that I have for you is, do you think in the first half, maybe because of the ability that we couldn't run as well as we or run like as much as we wanted to, do you think maybe that limited the ability to complete, you know, to get the pass game going? And what kind of fits or looks were the Eagles cornerbacks giving you guys? And other than that, I'll hang up and listen. And I wish you guys the best in Atlanta, and hopefully we can close the season out strong. And I'll be a fan no matter what. And keep your head up. And also, what did Cociano say to you guys in the locker room after? With that, I'll listen. Thanks, guys.
Well, with the defensive looks, it was they had us the first six possessions. We thought they was gonna do like the last four teams did to us with the bailing corners and trying to stop the deep ball. But when we adjusted to it in the second half, we just went back to what we do. We said they playing regular, they playing safe. So we went back to throwing our back shoulders, to throwing our post balls, to back to the fade balls and things like that. So we kind of adjusted in the second half. We thought they was going to be in one look, but they gave us another look in the first half, and then we adjusted in the second half.
With respect to the defensive look, explain a little more. A lot of fans, again, watch the NFL Network, listen to us, read up on it. What do you mean, for those that don't know what you're talking about, what about defensive look?
Defensive look is what they are, what they in first, and what they showing us, what they giving us, what coverages, if it's cover two, if it's man-to-man, if it's pure zone, what the look they giving us. So that's why I look at it as defensive look.
Were they disguising, what you were meaning is they were disguising some of what they were doing?
No, not really disguising.
They weren't really disguising it yesterday?
We really disguised. We tried to guess on what they was going to come out and do, and a couple of times we just guessed wrong where we had to adjust to it.
But sometimes teams, and maybe the Eagles didn't do a lot of it, sometimes teams will disguise what they're doing where the look looks like one thing, and then as you mentioned at the snaps, suddenly they do something else, right?
Oh, yeah,
that happens.
Definitely. They did that a lot with their safeties, but their corners didn't really give looks. But their safeties, you would see them both down at the line of scrimmage and then just shoot out. And then we would think it's man, and the cornerback come up and he play cover two zone.
And this is, again, part of the fun chess match, back and forth, punch, counterpoint, punch. You were talking about throwing a pass earlier in the game. You guys gave the offense, or gave the defense in that game with Atlanta, a look of this is a bubble screen to Mike Williams. Mm-hmm. It looked exactly like the bubble screen to Mike Williams, but instead you cocked the arm and threw the ball down the field. Vincent Jackson sneaks out. It looked exactly – the look was exactly like a bubble screen until the point when it was a Mike Williams pass. That's the idea, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You gotta play chess with him. What I always say is chess, not checkers. I always say chess, but you got to play chess. Try to give him a look that they seen before, that they know the run coming, and play action, and now we got him.
Again, Mike Williams here with us on these Monday nights. We will talk more about the New Orleans Saints. Stand by for that as we continue. 990-4620 if you're in Hillsboro. Pinellas 727-461-4620. Toll free 1-800-596-BUCKS. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network. All right, we are back in here with Mike Williams, our remaining few moments on this Monday night. Again, you can join us on the phones. You can tweet in a question at Bucks Sideline Guy, BUC, Bucks Sideline Guy. If you want to tweet one in, join us on the phones as well, 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 1-800-596-BUCKS. 1-800-596-2827 is the toll-free number. Did you get to see the Saints were actually playing the game after we were done? They played against the Giants. They're the opponent for this week. Did you sneak a peek any of that game on the TV yesterday?
Oh, yeah, I seen it.
Kind of a wild game.
Yeah, I know. Kind of back and forth. Giants pulled it out.
Drew Brees and that offense is obviously potent. But one thing, you know, just as a comment going into this game, we have seen them the last three games turn the ball over. And we saw it again yesterday with him throwing interceptions, and they had some other turnovers in the previous two or three games. By and large, if you turn it over.
Oh, yeah, that's a prime example right there. Like you said, I think he threw five picks the week before.
Against Atlanta.
Three
right?
Last nighter. It's when you turn the ball over, you limited your chances to win. I mean, one turnover hurts, but when you got multiple turnovers, it's hard to go out there and get a W.
The only I heard this today, and I don't I think I saw it somewhere else. The only exception may be the Indianapolis Colts have 9 wins. I don't know if you're aware of this. They are minus 16 in the turnover rate. They have turned it over 16 times more than they've taken it away, and they still have 9 wins. That may be the only exception right now in the entire NFL on that bad of a I mean, you're winning in spite of just making mistake after mistake, if that's the case. But that's rare that something like that happens.
Yeah, they out there still playing for their coach, so they're going to get the win regardless, it seems like, every week.
You know, and as a player, this is interesting for fans here. How much do you watch highlights of other games? You have to watch game tape to get ready for your opponent, but will you watch some highlights on a Sunday night or on a Monday night if they're on? Are you aware of that a lot, Mike?
Yeah, ESPN Top 10. I watch those.
Are you checking to see if 19 is there?
Yeah, try to.
That's what I figured.
You're my spot. But I look at ESPN Top 10 and try to see all the top plays around the league.
Adrian Peterson is one of those guys. We played against that guy. The defense obviously went against him in the Metrodome. He had another huge day yesterday. Does it amaze you as a player that plays in this league that he comes off of that kind of a serious knee injury back in December of last year, and here he is back doing what he's doing, looking like the Adrian Peterson of old, of his prime?
It's crazy who's going to get the comeback player of the year, him or Peyton. That's going to be like a award they should share or something, I think. Or Anthony Gator.
How about Anthony Gator coming back from it? Say something about that, because, you know, you're kind of joking, but Anthony Gator's been working awful hard to physically get back from a serious hamstring injury all the way back in August, and he was back out there healthy and active yesterday. And as a teammate, I know that's what you mean. You're smiling and happy for him that the hard work has paid off to get back.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He knocked down a big third down play, too. That was good. I was out there cheering. But it's good to see somebody. You never want them to get injured, but when they get injured and come back and still and play, it is good to see that.
What about and Daquan Bowers along those same lines? Fans need to understand that Achilles injury that he had in May is usually a 6 to 9 month injury, and he was back right at the high end of that at the 6 month mark on coming back and playing for this team. What about Daquan and the inspiration for the rest of you guys?
Oh yeah, it's always an inspiration to see your players come back, and especially when they're making plays. I think he got a couple sacks too, so it's good to see that like they back on that game.
990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620, and toll free 1-800-596-BUCKS is the toll free number there if you want to jump in here. All right, so back to the Saints and their defense. Again, scout this for us. Tell me a little bit about going up against those guys and what that's going to be like, obviously, for Sunday. And I mean, you're fairly familiar, obviously, with their secondary.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be tough like always when we play against the Saints. I mean, it's like they know us, we know them. It's the team that worked the hardest with the less penalties, I should throw in, gonna win that game, and hopefully it's us.
You go against Patrick Robinson, you go against Malcolm Jenkins, guys that you are familiar with. Like you mentioned, they're familiar with you.
Mm-hmm, yeah, all the time. I think they got some little rotation they going where Patrick Robinson checked me every game, and who is it? What is it?
Malcolm Jenkins is there too. Yeah, Roman Harper is there too.
Yeah, Harper. They follow me and Vincent around now. Like they got some little thing where he stay on my side wherever side I go, and they follow us around.
All right, so they look to vary it up a little bit.
Jabari Greer.
Jabari Greer.
He follow Vincent around, and Patrick Robinson follow me around no matter where we at on the field. So
you mean while you're playing,
while
not just
playing.
Not just following you around the Superdome. I'm just joking and pulling your leg.
Yeah, exactly.
Following you all around. I just like to have fun with you sometimes on Total Access. Let's go to Mark in Tampa on the phones. Hey, Mark, you're on here with Mike Williams on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Mike, man, another nice game you had, my friend. It's a good job you did out there.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks a lot.
I got two quick questions for you. First of all, I saw that Josh was a little frustrated with Underwood on a couple of those pass plays. Did he run the wrong route, number one? And the second question I got is about Josh. Does he call a lot of audibles? Is he allowed to call audibles? Are there certain plays he's not allowed to? What's the situation there?
Well, with the Underwood situation, it's just sometimes, like when you have in the offense and you got a route where you got a lot of adjustments, if it's two man, if it's zone, and you got to do different things, sometimes you get them miscommunication things. So I mean, I really didn't see them yelling, but I guess that's probably was why they just probably wasn't on the same page with each other.
Elaborate on that, because sometimes you're having to make what's called a sight adjustment. Explain what that means to the fans. You're standing there as a receiver doing what?
Oh, you looking at the safeties and you trying to look how the corner playing you, and on some of them routes, you got a straight go, but if it's two, you run an out route and you sit in the coverage. We got like five adjustments to make during the play, so it's not just go out there and they just draw up something and say you run here and he run here. We got a whole bunch of adjustments depending on what the coverage is.
And talk to the fans, too, about this. You will come on the sideline after a series, even after a scoring series, and you will look at still photos, which is right before the snap and then right after the snap, and take the fans through what you're going over with receivers coach P.J. Fleck, and you might even be going over it with Josh and Coach Sullivan.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We come to the sideline, and we see the still photos, and we say they trying to show us this, and then – they show us the play after, but they roll into this. So watch when the safety down this low, he's going to roll to this. So we try to make sideline adjustments for next time we go out and see that coverage.
Now, he was mentioning about audibles, and the coaches talked about this before. A lot of times there are two plays called in the huddle, and that's a situation where he's going to come look at the defense and decide to either stay in the same play or change the play. Right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think 60% of our plays is two plays caught in the huddle. So, and he come and he see the defense. He try to analyze the defense and pick what he think is the right play for that defense. But he has his audibles where he can audible to another play, give us a hand signal with the run and change the protections. And I say he audible about five times a game himself.
The interesting thing here for fans is there's an awful lot that goes into a play in 20 seconds sometimes. I mean, you're coming to the line, you're looking for your side adjustments. He's looking where the defense is lined up. Now suddenly he yells out a couple of code words, hand signal, he's changed the entire play. There's a lot going on field.
Definitely. We got to see the coverage. We got to know if it's a blitz, if we the hot man, and do we cut off our route if we see the blitz? There's a whole bunch going on.
Explain more about the hot man.
Oh, yeah. Well, if it's a blitz on your side and Josh will point him out, he'll point at two people, and if both of them come, you the hot man. He can't protect them.
Hopefully.
He basically telling you he can't protect them if both of them come, and you got to get open real quick.
So, again, these are all things that are involved in a play, play. You never know what's going to happen with that. We got about 60 seconds left. You get ready to go play the Saints. Say something to the Buck fans here. They're going to be watching. They're going to be listening to us on the Buccaneer Radio Network.
Well, Buck fans, like they said, we need these last three games. We got to go out there and win these games. So we need your fans. We need all the fans there at our last home game. But come to the New Orleans game. If you can't make it, please be watching.
All right, there you go. Be listening on the Buccaneers Radio Network. And be with us next Monday night for another edition of Total Access. Michael, thank you. Good job. All right, see you later. He leaves quietly. How about that? Unusual for him tonight. All right, my thanks also to Eric Sachs back at the station. Also, Jeff Ryan here at One Buck Place. Again, Bucks and Saints Sunday at 1. We're on the air at noon on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.
Bucks fans.